No one ever stays on a diet forever.
I find it wild how diet companies are allowed to use those highly curated before and after photos.
I just got to the point where I was like, I don't have the emotional capacity to do that anymore. So that's when I needed to change.
A piece of toast with avocado is cool and all, but it's not as grabbable. Mm. Yes, it'll take an extra 5 minutes, and that is just perhaps 5 minutes too long sometimes.
One thing that made me want to snap out of it was I saw my four-year-old get on the scale, and I was like, okay, we're not doing that. So I've hidden it away in the wardrobe. I've gotten to a point where I'm enjoying how I'm feeling, I'm enjoying eating, I'm enjoying my exercise, and that thought of the scales is fading away.
Hi everyone, and welcome to No Wellness Wankery. What you're hearing right now is a conversation between a real person, Brooke Palamo, who went on a journey from dieting mayhem, something you probably feel very familiar with, to discovering intuitive eating, non-dieting. And in today's episode, she is sharing some of those really key insights that she learned, stuff that I really want you to know that I'm so glad that she shared with you. So thank you, Brooke, for sharing your story. And I hope you enjoy this real conversation.
So I was thinking back to when did this all begin, and I don't know if there's a particular moment in time, but I recall when I was in primary school, grade four, so I was 10, we had an activity in the classroom. We were learning about statistics, and I remember it so vividly. And so in this particular instance, the teacher wrote on the chalkboard 20 to 29, 30 to 39, 40 to 49, like in columns. And then what we had to do, each child went up to the front of the room, stood on a scale, weighed themselves, and then had to put their tally where they fell. And so, like, I'm a tall person in general. At school, I was always I wasn't fat. I was that kid that was like just solid. Like, I was taller and I was just built a bit more solid. I, from the get-go, was like, I'm in the category here of the bigger boys in the class. And so I remember I went up to the front, I put my foot on and off the scale because I knew where I was. I'm like probably in the 60s or 70s or more, probably late 60s, I don't know, 60 to 70 kilos. And so I just went on and off and was like, put the tally up there. Like and I don't remember what happened after that. I don't know if she asked me to redo it, but I was just like, and then I'm looking at the board after 30 kids have gone up, there's all these tallies together in this bunch, and then I'm like the outlier on the end. And I've just been like, well, if I've had internal weight issues being the bigger kid, and then I'm like, and there it is in all its glory on the board for my whole class to see. And I was just remember, like, that's just stuck with me and something I've reflected on a lot since we've been speaking.
It sounds like before getting on the scale, you were already aware of the fact that you felt like the bigger kid, like as though you knew that on the scale was going to give you the wrong answer. Was that moment then just bringing it all home, and did you do anything differently as a result of hopping on the scale?
I don't think I did anything differently. I've just felt different. And like, I was never excluded, and I was always in like good groups of friends at school and all that sort of stuff. I was never excluded for being like, I wasn't overly big kid. I just knew that I was what was back then like the solid kid. And I just remember thinking like, this is not, and I'm probably feeling the way now that I did back then. Like, I'm not comfortable. I'm like shallow breathing. I'm just going, it's just not a very fond memory. What with the teacher probably thinking, oh, it's an innocent task and it meets the purpose of what we're trying to do here, but they don't understand just by doing that, that can just set you off for the next 20, 30 years, rest of your life. Like, things like that can just mold you in such a way in your formative years. Yeah. So it's one thing that I've chalked up.
When you wrote to me, you said, I'm now 35, got two kids, and I've had a life of fat burner tablets as a teen, Tony Ferguson as a teen, Weight Watchers as a teen, many and varied shake diets with a vomit emoji, excessive training with restrictive diets, steak for breakfast, what? HCG diet, which is dangerous, and I can't believe this is legal. And you said that I lost 10 kilograms in a month and I only ate a very small number of calories a day and no one batted an eyelid. And of course you did Jenny Craig. You had then went on to have this rich, I don't know if that's the right word, rich and varied diet history for many, many years.
Mm.
Do you want to tell me about that?
I forgot to add in that I also did the skinny teas. So add that on the list. But, and I'm not exaggerating or lying when I say that I did all of that. I've been there, I've done it, I tried it, I was humiliated by it, it made me sick. And I think now, mid-30s, with the responsibilities that we've got with work and kids and all those sorts of things, I was absolutely exhausted by that, like, hamster wheel of just not only weight going up and down, but the emotional roller coaster and the absolute guilt that I would put myself under and beat myself up. And then you'd go great for 5 days of the week. It'd get to the weekend and you're like, oh, things might go haywire here, and they go sideways. And then you beat yourself up and you're like, I'm not going to eat for 2 days or whatever. And then you wonder why it just goes back around again. And I think I just got to the point where I was like, I don't have the emotional capacity to do that anymore. So that's when I needed to change.
Do you think it was clear that going on these weight loss attempts was actually not even getting you to lose weight and keep it off?
It's the keeping it off. It got me to lose weight, sure. But it was only ever going to last a short while. So it's kind of like I'd be willing to do it for a block of time and then be like, okay, or I'd think that it would be different. Well, this time it'll be different. And so after the birth of my first daughter, 4 years ago, I got onto Jenny Craig and I was like, yeah, I can do that. And I think it was actually at the time Yelena Dokic was the ambassador. I don't know what it was, but I saw myself in her and I was like, she can do it, I can do it. Not to compare myself to like a world-class sportswoman, but I don't know what it was. I was like, all right. And so I saw that on the weekend. The next Monday I went to the Jenny Craig, or I sent them an email, whatever, signed up, lost 16 kilos in 4 months. And gained it back in probably half the time. And I've never known a weight loss plan or diet or whatever to last any longer than 6 months, because you either see that you're getting all these like, oh, look, I've lost all the weight, as I did, and I stopped and then I gained it back. No one ever stays on a diet forever. And so, yeah, that's where I found myself.
Did you see other people having success and wonder why you couldn't? Or did you, were you aware of the fact that other people were also going on diets and the exact same thing was happening to them?
I'm not too sure. I would often compare always compare myself to other people in different ways. And I'm not too sure. Like, I would probably look at some people and go like, how can they do it? What am I doing wrong? And I just thought, like, because at the end of, particularly in Jenny Craig, at the end of it, they wean you off the meal plan to put you on maintenance to basically just go and live your life now.
You're free. And go be free.
I know. We're done with you. Move on. And I just, you learn nothing on a meal plan. So long as someone says, microwave this box of food, eat it, have an apple, go to bed, whatever. As long as you do that and you don't have to think and you're not learning, sure, it'll work. And as soon as I finished, because I'd lost my 16 kilos and I was looking great, I was like, oh, what do I do now? And then like external pressures and stress would come in and I'd fall back into my own ways, because of 4 months of doing the Jenny Craig, I learned nothing. I was back into my old ways already. So there's no education in that. Sure, it does what you want to do in the way of losing the weight. And then I was like, I would end that. And then I would look around and go, okay, well, maybe that wasn't the diet for me. Like that, okay, that's not the one I can maintain. What's the next one? Sure as hell tried enough shake diets over and over again, thinking that maybe I can maintain this one. And it would just never, after a 6 month period, it'd be done. And I'd find myself, okay, what am I going to do now sort of thing.
I find it wild how diet companies are allowed to use those highly curated before and after photos to endorse their product, which they're capturing a moment in time. They're not showing you what happens after the after photo. There is no requirement for them to show you what happened to that person after the after photo. For example, Yolanda Dokic, she has very much come forward and talked about her binge eating experience, her disordered eating, and she was the poster girl for a diet company. And what they basically do is they're not looking, okay, well, listen, 1,000 people did this program and here's the how many people kept the weight off after 5 years. They're never, ever revealing that to you because that would make them look really, really bad. And most people that I spoke to have tried, you know, these different approaches again and again and again. You then ended up having, I don't know if it was an aha moment. It kind of sounds like from what you and I have spoken about, you said, around this time, you started following me maybe in 2020. You were still dieting at the time. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. So I started following you, in 2020, and that was after I'd had my daughter in 2019. So I may or may not have been on Jenny Craig at the time, may have finished it and was like, okay, here's a healthy structure or some inspiration that I can then follow. And I remember at the time, I took a screenshot of one of your lunches that you'd prepared. And I was like, okay, I can do that. I like the food in that photo. Let's do it. And I started making, you know, my lunches based on those sorts of things, but was still binging. So I didn't ever have that moment of going, I've seen the light. Let's go with what Lindy's doing. I was trying, but I was falling back into old ways. And I don't know what it has taken, but I've found that like external stresses and things like that, when I get stressed or when I get emotional or whatever, that's my sort of my outlet. I then go to the car and go, I can't handle whatever's going on, and I just shove food in my mouth. And so while it was okay, yeah, my lunches are good, but I get home in the afternoon after work and I'll just eat half a box of chocolate, it's like, okay, that's where I was still finding myself in that, the mix of the binge eating still.
I think that's the hardest thing to do when you learn about intuitive eating and you really like the idea. You like the idea of not dieting, but at the same time, you've spent so many years, decades dieting that it's what you know. It's how you know. These food rules dominate you. So sometimes I see people, they try and do a bit of intuitive eating, but they're still doing quite a bit of dieting. And then they feel like it's not working. I'm not getting anywhere. And then they kind of feel like I gave non-dieting a shot and it didn't really work. But it sounds like for you, you kind of did this little half in, half out thing for a while. But progressively, the more you learned about, you know, not dieting, intuitive eating, the more you went, okay, this is making more and more sense to me. And it wasn't like there was this big aha moment where you went, oh, okay, finally we're quitting diets, we're never going back. It was a slow relearning and pushing back against diets, right?
Yeah. And then after the birth of my son, which was July last year, I found myself at that point where you are bigger than you are normally and you probably need to start a diet to lose the baby weight and all those sorts of things. And I was like, all right, we've got two options here. Like I was just exhausted. I'm like, I can pick a diet. What's the latest? What's going on? And I'd actually just hung out with a mum friend who had got onto Ozempic. And thankfully, she told me that it was how many thousands of dollars it was. And I was like, okay, well, that's probably not an option. And then I was like, or I can just do better than what I'm doing. And if that's not eating half a block of chocolate, then let's just start with that. And I found that if I'm satisfied or if I'm full, I can keep those little like hunger gremlins at bay. If I plan that I've always got snacks on me, like nut bars and things like that, and get ahead of my hunger, then I don't turn into this crazy binge eating person. That was a bit of a slow realization too.
So strategy number one, I'd say, is what you're saying is you decided that previous you would have tried to be good all day, right? Which is was kind of code for being on diet or eating like really healthy food that was allowed. Mm. And what you're doing now is you go, no, I have to be satisfied by my meals and I can't let myself become overly hungry, because you saw the pattern of what was happening with the diet mentality. You were getting ravenous and as a result, you were binge eating. So now you are not preemptively eating. I assume you're waiting until you feel hungry, but then you have those options on hand, you know, the nut bars in your pantry that you can easily grab. And I think that's a really key part of it is the grabability. Like, sure, a piece of toast with avocado is cool and all, but it's not as grabbable. Mm. Yes, it'll take an extra 5 minutes, and that is just perhaps 5 minutes too long sometimes.
Want to stop binge and emotional eating for good? Understand the cause of these habits, learn how to deal with afternoon or evening binges, and get the number one tool you need to break up with binging for good with my free 5-day course. This means no more hiding food wrappers, eating in secret, or feeling guilt and shame around your eating behaviors. Instead, you'll learn how to regain control over food, make peace with your body, and stop being consumed by thoughts of food all the time. Sign up to my free course in the show notes and experience the life-changing transformation for yourself.
Absolutely. And so I got used to being like, okay, you know, our bodies are smart things. They know what they're doing. It's going to tell me when it's hungry. And so first of all, I realized I wasn't eating enough at all. I'd be having a piece of toast for breakfast and then it would get to lunchtime. And then I would eat, like if I was at work, I'd probably go buy like a wrap and chips and like big stuff. So that was way too late.
Because you were so hungry, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny when I'm at work and I sort of feel that it's not a hunger pain or anything. It's just like, oh, I could eat now, or like I need to start thinking about eating. I'd be checking the time and it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, right, I'm going to eat a nut bar now because in the next 15 to 20 minutes, I'm going to get hangry. And I am not pleasant when I'm hangry. So, and then back to having stuff on hand, I would always have snacks and things because I know that between now and the next 15, 20 minutes is when things can go south for me. So, yeah, like you said, preparing nice meals is a lovely thing to do and it's great. And I do it when I have time. But there are also times when I'm like, I open the pantry, I'm like, I need to eat something. When the old me would be like, there's a bag of chips there, there's half a pocket of chocolate there, there's some sweet cookies or whatever there, where I'm like, okay, now if I have that situation again, I'm like, got a nut bar, I've got some sultanas, I've got a piece of fruit, I've got something just to put in my mouth and like walk away for a minute because I've been doing that for so long. So it's, yeah.
There are so many good points here. The second strategy you're talking about is intuitive eating. And just, you know, a reminder about intuitive eating, it's not just eating whatever, whenever. It is very much about tuning into your hunger and going, oh, am I hungry? And the interesting thing, like you're saying, Brooke, is that you develop patterns. You kind of go, all right, I generally do get hungry around the 10 a.m., 10:30-ish. And I know myself, I know that it's realized it's taken me 20 minutes before I become way too hungry, which is actually quite a quick transition period. And you've identified what hunger feels like for you. Because if you've been dieting for so many years, majority of people go, I don't even know what hunger feels like. And as you so rightly said, sometimes it just is, it's just this feeling of, I could eat right now. It's just this gut feeling. Sometimes it's not a grumble. It's not hanger. That's too much. It's so subtle, but you're listening out for it and then you are responding to it. And so the third strategy you've talked about is this eat more to eat less kind of concept. So it is about going, I am done with all or nothing thinking when it comes to nutrition. Old me would have thought I'm only allowed to have a 100-calorie snack right now. It would have said it has to be an apple. It has to be something allowed. What you are saying is I'm going to have something like a nut bar, which, yeah, has a little bit more calories, but it's really, truly enjoyable. It's very satisfying to me. So I've added in more calories, but it's going to mean I avoid a binge later. Then you can see how you're sitting much more in that middle, in that balance kind of territory, as opposed to the health pendulum swing, which is what you were doing before.
Yep. Yep. You've nailed it. And I think, and it goes against what we're told about eat more to eat less sort of mentality. And it's never perfect. you got to know what your triggers are, and you've got to know what works and what doesn't for you. And it's got to be enjoyable. Like you said, it can't just be a 100-calorie snack that I'm allowed or not allowed to have. I get so much pleasure and enjoyment out of eating, and it's got to be things that I am happy to eat, not that I am told to eat, things that I enjoy. And if there's a day where I'm like, I feel like something a bit more substantial for a morning tea, like a yogurt and granola or something that's a bit more like, then I'm allowed to, because I'm not counting anything, because that's what my body wants. And I know that by the end of the day, I'm not going to be binging and things like that. So that's been an adjustment, and it's a constantly working thing. It's not just one of these things that just happens and you're a changed person. It's something that you're constantly thinking about, but I think tuning into what your body's telling you, because it's a smart thing and it knows what to do. It's interesting to see when I get hungry throughout the day, because for the past 20 years, I've not been hungry because I'm always eating, because I'm always binging and things like that. So I've not known what intuitive is.
Because when you're coming out of diet world, I think we feel so scared to be hungry. I felt very tainted by the feeling of hunger. I truly believed that food was kind of running out in a way. And so I just felt compelled. Now, I think what is also interesting, you mentioned in a previous chat you and I have had, is how you started to think about exercise differently, and you realized, I'm going to do the exercise I actually enjoy. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. What I found that I enjoyed is 10 or more years ago, I had a back injury and herniated disc, and I had all this rehab and got into the first time I'd ever tried reformer Pilates. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a injury rehab situation. And then moving home, I found that there's places that offer that. And then so I found a clinic nearby that does it. And I truly love doing that. I'm not the traditional Pilates style body, but I love that it's low impact and it's constantly a lot of variety in a class, and I'm getting weight training. It's not that I can only put my head, feet behind my head or anything crazy like that. I'm not a very flexible person. I really do enjoy that. And I've done the CrossFit and I've done all those things. And, you know, I'm 35, I'm not that old, but there comes a time in your life where it's like, I can't do a lot of that high impact stuff anymore. I don't want to, because I can't afford to be injured, because I've got kids that I've got to run around after. Like, so it's something that I found that I enjoy. And I find even if it's just going for a walk, I throw a baby in the pram and I'm like, I'm just going to head out for an hour, and if it's not an hour, it's 20 minutes, but it's a lap around the block. And I find that walking and Pilates are what work for me. And I think you've got to enjoy what you do. Don't just go for the walk or the run or whatever because you're being told, or you think that's what you have to do, because you're not going to maintain it. And if you don't have pleasure in what you're doing, you're not going to maintain it. So it's got to be something that you enjoy.
So strategy number 5 is, you have finally gotten to this point where you've realized the importance of enjoyment, the key to sustainability being enjoyment, and being able to ask yourself the question of, even if I didn't lose weight, I would still want to go to my reformer class. Even if I didn't lose weight, I would still want to pop my baby in the pram and get some fresh air and get that headspace. And that, I think, is why over the last several months, you have just very slowly but very consistently been getting somewhere where it comes to your health. And perhaps, is this for the first time this has been about where you're kind of going, I can see this is a new way? Do you still feel like you get the idea of going on a diet feels appealing? Or you ever see anyone who's lost a lot of weight and you kind of feel a pang of, I'd like to do that as well? Tell me about what's happening there.
No, the thought of another diet like fills me with dread and displeasure. And oh, like I'm at a point where I have a lot more mental clarity and capacity in my head to deal with other things, that's not constantly worrying about what I'm going to eat, what I should or shouldn't be eating. I shouldn't have eaten that. I shouldn't have done that. That's not in my head anymore. And that's given me a lot more peace and a lot more clarity and capacity, like I said, to deal with the mental load that's got enough going on. And so I just find I look forward to going for a walk now. Like if it's been 3 or 4 days and I'm like, oh, I haven't got out of the house, like I'm wanting to, because I've set those habits And it's not like I must do it 3 times a week or I must do it. Habits. Your body then wants to, because it's like, hey, I enjoyed doing that. I want to do it again.
What would you say to someone who was still in diet land, who had 1 foot in intuitive eating, but was scared to make the big jump to kind of go, right, I am going to commit. I'm going to finally go, I'm done with that old world. Is there anything you could say to try and convince them to do that?
I do think you have to come to it in your own time. And I do think that you can't be treating your Lindy's approach, your approach, as a diet. Like you can't be going, I'm going to go on Lindy's diet, because what you're doing, it's not a diet. It's intuitive eating. It's going back to what our bodies are made to do. And I think you just got to take it slowly. Like it can't just be, you know, the old way of I'm going grocery shopping and I'm only buying fruit and veggies and I'm only going to eat that for the next week. Still get the foods you enjoy, but just like slowly layer them in each day. Like find a lunch or a variety of lunches that you like that you can swap in and out, and make sure that you're eating enough to fill yourself up so that you're not binging at the end of the day. I just think you got to take it slowly, because anything that's worth doing long term or forever, like, is not worth doing quickly. You got to take it slowly.
Last time you emailed me, you said that you'd lost 10 kilograms in about 3 months. You were never feeling hungry, but looking at the scale was not a priority. And I guess that's the interesting thing about coming back to this idea of the scale and using the scale as a metric for success. Where are you at now with thinking about the scale and thinking about your weight? How has that changed?
I think probably I'm now at the point of having lost 12 kilos, 10 or 12, whatever. I've not stood on the scales for a few weeks now. But when I first started noticing that I was losing weight, I was obsessing with that scale. And I was like, okay, if I've got the eating right and I've got the exercise in a good space that I can manage, I was finding that that scale was still a bit of a gray cloud over my head. One thing that made me want to snap out of it was I saw my four-year-old get on the scale and I was like, okay, we're not doing that. So I've hidden it away in the wardrobe, was barely getting to 7 days before I jump on it again. I'm like, oh, what is it now? What is it now? But then I've gotten to a point where I'm enjoying how I'm feeling. I'm enjoying eating. I'm enjoying my exercise. And that thought of the scales is fading away. And like I said, I've not been on it for, let's say, 3 weeks now. And eventually I'll take the batteries out, but we'll get to that.
It's such an interesting one, because you can hear from like the age of 10, like how hopping on the scale, we think it's, I don't know, sometimes it can be motivating, but mostly it can throw us off pathway. It can make us feel anxious. It can make us feel obsessed with it when it is kind of going in the right way. It can be a very turbulent relationship, but I understand this idea of feeling like people still want to check in on the scale. I think the thing is that if your body's changing, you very much feel it. And then for some reason, we kind of need the scale to confirm what we already know. And I guess this is the definition of the intuitive part of you kind of going, no, I know. I don't need validation from a scale to be able to tell me these things. And if you're kind of listening right now, you're going, I'm having a hard time letting go of the scale. I know that that can be scary, because in a way it feels like a sense of control. So often disordered eating, it's about having a control over something. And I think what you've done, Brooke, quite naturally is you have recognized that it wasn't actually that helpful and distanced yourself from how frequently you are weighing yourself. Because in the best case scenario, I'm saying to you, you don't need to weigh yourself. But as I said, scary. But what you did is you went, all right, longer distance between weighing yourself. Maybe if you're someone listening, you're weighing yourself every day, maybe you go, all right, what would it feel like to weigh myself once a week? Could I go to once every 3 weeks, once a month, and then move it out from there? Sometimes that can feel a little bit safer. And I think that is already a far better move than doing nothing at all and staying stuck in that obsessive kind of headspace. And Brooke, for you, I would love you to get to the point where you don't even think about what your weight is until you have to go, like, you know, to get a blood test or something, and they want you to hop on the scale. And then, you know, and anyone who's listening, if you don't already know, you can do something called a blind weigh-in. If you do have to go to an appointment with a doctor, you can say, listen, I have a history of disordered eating. I'd like to do a blind weigh-in. And what you do is you step on the scale backwards. They look at the number and they do not tell you the number. And that is something you are all able to request and ask for. And that is best practice.
Brooke, I'm so grateful of the time you've given me. I know you've got two kids. I know everyone listening is going to be really grateful, nodding their heads going, yep, okay, I can relate and I have probably learned a lot from you. Is there any last story or thought or tip you'd like to leave the listeners with?
I just think your life and your mental well-being and all of that is more important than putting yourself through any sort of restrictive diet. That's such a depressing and sad place to be and can be so detrimental to your mental health. What I wish I had done 20 years ago in my teens is just trusted that I knew what my body was doing. Like, it knows what to do with what I'm feeding it. And if I stick to healthy eating and had gone on to intuitive eating as a teenager, maybe I wouldn't have gone through what I have in the past 20 years.
A scary leap, but so worth it. Brooke, I am so grateful for your time. Thank you for chatting to us. And anyone else who's listening, if you want to share your story on No Wellness Wankery, I would love to hear from you. If you could email me, hello@lindycohen.com. Tell me a little bit of your story and hopefully you can share what you've learned with everyone else as well. Thank you, Brooke.
Thanks, Lindy.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Does binge eating feel like your dirty secret? And are you sick of trying to be good, but falling off the bandwagon and losing control around food? If so, I can help. Binge Free Academy teaches you how to beat binge eating and feel in control around food, giving you doable, evidence-based strategies. You'll get lifetime access to 30 practical step-by-step video lessons, 12 group coaching calls with me, and become part of my Binge Free Academy community for life. As a recovered binge eater, I get it. I know there's no quick fix or one-stop shop for binge eating. And so that's why I want to give you the ongoing support and care you need and deserve. And I'm so confident it will help you that I'm offering you a 30-day money-back guarantee. So no risk, all reward. You can take control over your food and your life. And I think it's the best investment you'll ever make towards reclaiming your life, your health, and your happiness. To learn more about Binge Free Academy, you can click the link in the show notes or go to lindycohen.com/binge-free-academy.